You may not know what an algae bloom is, but it is something that happens fairly often, not just here in Idaho, but around the world. Around the world, we see it in ponds and lakes and reservoirs. In fact, health officials around the state have been putting out some warnings about this recently because it's not really an algae, but a bacteria that thrives through photosynthesis like plants. And under certain conditions, this bacteria can actually basically invade a body of water. It can kill off aquatic flora and fauna. And in fact, last month, if you heard about this, there was a dog that was swimming in Henry's Fork in East Idaho that passed away. The dog's vet does believe that the dog was infected, basically poisoned in the water. Now, these algae blooms have been reported, as we said, all over the country. And joining me to explain what causes them and how to combat them are Brian Reese, Water Quality Standards Analyst with Idaho's Department of Environmental Quality, and Austin Hopkins, a Conservation Associate with the Idaho Conservation League. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Irma.
Brian, I want to start with you because this is not uncommon in Idaho. We see them.
We do.
Every year. But why do we need to be aware of them and what they are?
Cyanobacteria can potentially produce a toxin called cyanotoxins that can be harmful to humans and our pets and livestock.
So then how do we know what this looks like? I mean, because when we think of algae or an algae bloom, I mean, I would automatically think like, okay, I go see the water and there's something big, you know, that is obvious. And is that the case?
Oftentimes it can be, sure.
Other times, what does it look like?
It depends on the species. There are multiple species of these cyanobacteria, and they each look a little different. There can be a surface scum or a foam that forms on top of the water, and that's the most obvious. But they can also be in the water column itself.
And go ahead, Austin.
An important thing we try to remind folks of is a common name you hear these called is blue-green algae, but they can take on a variety of colors. And so when we communicate this to people, we just ask or urge people to exercise abundance of caution. If you see an algal bloom, assume the worst, unfortunately, you know, because if it's harmless, no biggie, but if it's harmful, it can be very harmful and very impactful to your health. So exercise caution.
And does it form because the water gets warm? I mean, how do we get this? I mean, it seems like is it fairly naturally occurring, or what's happened that we're seeing this?
Cyanobacteria are a natural common presence in most of Idaho's waters and soils. They're just present in the environment. When conditions are good for them, they tend to have high population numbers, and they bloom.
They grow. They get bigger.
Yep.
They take over bodies of water.
Exactly.
And so then, Austin, you tend to think maybe there is some global warming that has something to do with this?
Yeah, so Brian just mentioned when those conditions are good, we see an increased likelihood for these harmful blooms to occur. And those conditions, there's a number of them, but the two primary drivers are warm water and excessive nutrients in water. Those can really drive the occurrence and the frequency of these blooms. And so in light of climate change, you know, we're seeing waters throughout Idaho, their temperatures of streams and reservoirs and lakes increasing due to increasing temps. And so with that comes an increasing likelihood of these blooms.
I'm speaking with Brian Reese, a water quality standards analyst with Idaho's Department of Environmental Quality, and Austin Hopkins, a conservation associate with the Idaho Conservation League. We are talking about these blue-green algae forms that are blooming in parts of Idaho waters and just getting updated on what this means. And so we know, Brian, that a dog passed away after swimming in Henry's Fork last month. How concerned should humans be if they come in contact with this?
Well, speaking particularly about that dog, we went and sampled that water body and we did not detect cyanotoxins. Mm. So as an agency, we don't know what happened to that animal. And for people, we worked with the Department of Health and Welfare, and they read through the literature. They looked at what's been written and recommended a human health guideline, and that's based on the potential consumption of water while playing for kids. And those are the thresholds that we look for, and we as an agency gather the data and then share the data regarding what's in the water, how much of the cyanotoxin may be present, what species are there, and then share that information with the public health districts. And we have good working relationships with the health districts, and they make the decision about whether water body is safe for people to be in or not.
And really, it's one of those things where, right, educate yourself. I mean, we're an outdoor state. So whether you're hiking, biking, swimming, I mean, you can live your life like something bad's going to happen all the time, or educate yourself. And Austin, is that kind of part of it, too, is that it's like, you know, be aware?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the big thing we try to talk to folks about is know before you go. So if you're going to go recreate in a water body, if you're going for a hike and you know there's going to be some water body that you pass by, know what signs to look for. You know, before you ever jump into that lake, before you ever try to filter water to drink on a backpacking trip, make sure you're aware you've kind of checked the coastline, you've checked the coves, and you've seen, are there any signs of an algal bloom? If there are, again, you don't know if it's toxic until DEQ has done their testing, but exercise that caution. Say, you know, I'm going to find a different water source where there's not a sign of a bloom. But if it's clear, if you've done your due diligence and you've looked the water body over and it looks fine, then yeah, enjoy it. Idahoans love being in water, so go out there and enjoy the clean water.
Well, and that's the thing, and we love the outdoors. I mean, that's why we live here. But things like this are happening all over the country, and I know this is a bit different, but like in Florida, they're having a red tide issue, and it's in the Gulf, and they had a major one about 13 years ago as well. And, you know, and the Gulf doesn't, people may not be aware of this, it doesn't move like the Atlantic Ocean does.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time of year, too, where that water is warm. So is something like that, I mean, could we see something similar as to what they're experiencing in Florida? Because in Florida with red tide, it kills off. I mean, you're talking fish, it killed a shark in, I think, Brandon, Florida last week. From this, are these things that we need to be concerned about to that extent?
So I'm going to back up a little bit and say,
I know it's a big question, right?
This is a
Brian literally just backed up.
This is a nationwide issue. This is a global issue, and going back to those two drivers of warm water and excessive nutrients, and so. You know, I don't know off the top of my head the relative concentrations of nutrients in Idaho's waters versus Florida's waters.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now we should do everything in our power to avoid getting to that point where we have we're potentially risking massive die-offs from these blooms. We're potentially endangering public health, the lives of you know, families or children playing in these things. I won't go so far as to say that maybe it's an issue that this summer we need to worry about, but we should do everything in our power to avoid getting to that point.
And yet at the same time, I can remember when I was a kid swimming in ponds in the mountains that had what I now know was a bloom of a species called a Phamazominon. And they've been here forever and they will be here. And so I don't think it's a cause for panic. We don't have Puget Sound gets red tides, and the Pacific Ocean does as well. So you just learn what to look for, and you just don't go in the water that day, and you enjoy your picnic on the beach.
Well, and we see that even with places in the Treasure Valley, even in the summertime. You know, Esterson Plot Park, I believe it was closed. Eagle Island State Park was closed for a time this summer. That seems to happen every summer. I've lived here for a long time. So is it, again, being aware of it, being safe, but again, paying attention. Brian, is that, I mean, what you're hoping that people get out of this?
As an agency, we just try to tell people to be aware, and if in doubt, stay out. We've got a good photo gallery that we're developing on our website. And you can visit the web pages, look at pictures of algal blooms, and also examples of what is not an algal bloom, like duckweed or pollen on the water.
And I've been saying it wrong. It's alga, and I always say algae.
Algae is multiple. Algal is singular.
Oh, man, these scientists, I swear. No. And also, you have a great website, though. I was on it this morning, and you actually show in real time where there are locations right now. So it is a good place for people to get that information.
Right. If there's a public health advisory for a water body, then it will be posted there.
Okay. I want to thank both of you for coming in today. Good information for folks, since we love to recreate so much outside here in Idaho. Brian Reese, a water quality standards analyst with the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, and Austin Hopkins, a conservation associate with the Idaho Conservation League. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.